2019, and these are our last shirim. Next week is Rosh Hashanah. Then, if I'm right, we have two shirim before Yom Kippur, and then we don't have till after Sukkot. So we have a lot to do. As far as commenting on current events, I'll comment on Thursday night in Beit Shemesh. Leave Zelichud v'Zelichud. I want to pick up where we left off here. It's a very, very difficult question. Inviting people, the Chalil Shabbos, to come to your house. We know they're going to drive. We're not going to drive away. All right. Nevertheless, we saw some of the greatest poskim of our generation, Amatia, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, Effie. We're dealing here with the Eder Charedit, or not dealing here with Woodme. You understand? It's a big difference. But he's not the only one. Right down the line, of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you're dealing here with Shari Chesed. All right, Rav Shlomo Zalman is not in the same camp with Rav Moshe Sternbuch, but you're dealing here with Rav Shlomo Zalman. And right down the line, we saw the sources I quoted to you, Rabbi Moshe Elephant, who's a character. It'll be interesting to see if the autobiography will ever be published with footnotes, with cross-references.
It's not very impressive.
If they told me in Lakewood that I'm wrong and he's 99% gangster and 1% gone, so I said 50-50. My grandson said one-third, two-thirds. But I'm prejudiced. It's my family. What can I do? Adam Karev, it's Latzmo. It's my family. All right. I've also taught many elephants. I have to be honest with you. I've taught many members of the family, and Litovu Litov. It's Shalom Pashuk. Don't want to go into any more detail, but people listening in Florida now are reading me a little deeper than you are sitting in front of me. But the Jewish action, and by the way, that the story with the Haber family was confirmed. It seems that a child of the rabbi involved confirmed that it really happened, that the father invited this Russian, and the Russian, to show his thankfulness, serenaded them with a violin on Friday night. And Herbie, the father, did not say a word. And you have to understand Russian mentality. And I told you a similar story, and this is the world in which we live. I told you a similar story where someone gets engaged to a kid from South Africa. The kid is a Baal Tshuva. His parents know very little about Yiddishkeit. They come in Chol HaMoed Pesach to visit the new Machatanim, and they bring two bottles of scotch that they bought in the duty free on Chol HaMoed Pesach. We're talking Jews. No, what do you do? I got the shaila. I couldn't be mater the lick. I couldn't find a way in the world lahati, as much as if you're a lamdan, you have to try lahakel to be machmis nishta kunz. In Yiddish, machmis famir alein, to be machmir. Mir is for me only. You understand? It's a play on words in Yiddish. But I couldn't find the heter. It's mamish chametz bought by a Jew on Pesach. It's not just chovalava Pesach. It's bal yirei, bal yimatzeh on Pesach. It's a nisa d'oraita. But on the other hand, do you say anything to the people? No, you don't say anything. Give it time. All right, those people in the course of time became shomrei Torah mitzvah. So that's what this is all about, and I showed you from South Africa the whole story of the shidduch with the rub from here, and he comes to South Africa and he thinks his father is a father-law. What kind of father-law? What is he, a reform rabbi? Everyone is driving up the shul. And he says today the children and grandchildren, those people driving up the shul on Shabbos, are all learning in Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So there's something to be said. I'm looking to see if Rafi Jacobson is here, because I'm going to see people ask me questions, and then when I'm ready to answer, I'm looking for them, all right? Maybe he'll show by the time I reach it. Okay, then we began the end of the class. That's Dasuslav Mengizok Dafriyamo Effi. When I teach, I'm reliving the Rav sitting and teaching me, and we spoke, what can I do? You know, you've lived in Israel too long when my native instinct is to speak Hebrew. It's unbelievable. Over 50 years in Israel, people say good morning to me, I say Boker Tov Mevorach, okay? But when I talk Torah, I break into Yiddish, and that's a terrible problem because you guys are sitting here, I might as well be talking Chinese. Mayab Sitanga taught me Chinese. Can I try to get in Bissell Chinese? Alright, as the Rav used to say, it's Greek to me, but for the Rav to say it's Greek to me means he knew it because he knew Greek and Latin. We didn't. Alright, so we ended off this year, we're talking about Reb Shmuel Pinchasi, who's the contemporary. And I'm quoting, and I believe I quoted to you at the end of the shir from Moshe Mutashi, who sent me this, and he told me who Reb Pinchas, because I asked him, who is Reb Shmuel Pinchasi? I know the name, it's a Reb Manasseh family, it's a Sephardic family. And he's the Rosh Kollel in Makor Baruch Geula area. He's also head of a Beit Din. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He's involved with Hanof in Rei Shefer, which I know well. And he's a Talmud very close to Rav Avadya Yosef Sefer Tzadik Levracha. So we're dealing here with a top Talmud Chacham. And quoting from his Sefer, Minchat Shmuel and Orach Chaim, Schelik Dalet Siman Tet, he gets this exact question. You know that he's going to drive on Shabbos. And are you allowed to invite them? And it's not only a question of friends. What do you do, parents, your own parents? You're a Baal Tshuva. Your parents, Skada Mechalalei Shabbos. Your parents are Mechalalei Shabbos. Again, there for the grace of God go I. My family is in America since 1900. And it's all, I write about it in Washington, the Hashgacha Pratit, it's overwhelming. The teacher in public school, I was first grade in public school, I beat up the teacher. So she called my mother, a Jewish lady, I don't know if she knew anything about Yiddish kind, but a Jewish lady, Mrs. DeRay, and she told my mother, I think she was Sephardic, Spanish Portuguese, and she told my mother, look, let's be honest, I grew up in a neighborhood with one-third Jewish, one-third Irish, one-third Italian. So she said, your son has a Jewish head. What he learns in a half hour, the other kids need a week to learn. So he's bored. I would advise you shift him to a parochial school. And there happens to be a yeshiva parochial school within walking distance, the only one in the Bronx, Yeshiva Salant, that come up from Harlem. Those of you that know a little bit of New York Torah history, Harlem emptied out. The yeshiva was founded in 1916. It was originally a Talmud Torah, then it became a day school, then it moved to Washington Avenue, and then it moved to Webster Avenue. It's in the news again, not for good reasons, if you're following what's happening now. Of course, Solanta, the East Bronx, later changes. They then merge with the yeshiva in the West Bronx, where tomorrow Professor Morty Tarragon will be here for shir, and his uncle was the rabbi there, Rabbi Nathan Tarragon. And then the West Bronx changed, went under, and the only Jews left were in Riverdale, so it may merged with Riverdale Academy. New Yitzchak, what is it called today? Sar Academy. Salanter Akiva was the West Side name. Riverdale. And Dover was in the news, not for good reasons. Once again, a scandal in our world. It's hard to conceive. By the way, Benny Krause is my student, the guy who's getting all the heat. He's in charge. I don't understand that. How there's so many sexual fiends walking around. A baseball player went to jail just now. He had relations with a 13-year-old girl. I mean, I don't know. I'm shaking. I don't understand. I'm a normal man. I also had sexual drive. I also had hormones. I also married a beautiful girl. And I've been married to her on for 60 years now. No complaints whatsoever. And I raised three lovely daughters. And I, Kanain Hara, where is all this sickness coming from? And Talmidim always say to me, Rebbe, in your time there were sick people too, but no one spoke about it. I don't know. You knew people like this? You grew up in the Bronx, not far from me. Steve, you knew people like this? I don't know. I saw...
I went to public school, and, you know, it was...
I don't know. Anyway, so this teacher told my mother, and because she spoke to my mother switched me to Solanta. She heard dual curriculum. My mother had Jewish feeling. It's the way, again, I can't go into it now, but it's something you can't understand. I'm not a Baal Tshuva. Yet my parents were in Shomrei Shabbos. But I'm not a Baal Tshuva. It was a different generation. So she switched me. When you look at that switch today, there must be, in our own family, 300-400 Shomrei Torah mitzvot walking the face of the earth. And I may be minimizing it, because I make my parents from, I make my brothers from, and the rest is history, as they say. I'm not talking about my influence on students. I'm talking Lakewood honors me. Chabad, Lakewood, I saw Yitzhak, so why did Lakewood honor you? You know how many Lakewood guys there are who remain stuck because of a guy in Yerushalayim? There's something to talk about. The Amir, etc. Okay. So, your own parents, you're not going to invite them? I mean, he's a Sfardi, so he really feels, in other words, Kibbut Aviyeh, take it from me, among the Ashkenazim, Ligin Mi Andred, Dov, you'll translate that for them after class. But among the Sfardim, there's real Kibbut Aviyeh. By the way, it's among the Chassidim too. You should know that when someone in the Chassidic world is ill, they draw up a list. There always has to be someone in the hospital with the Zayda, with the grandfather. It's interesting. They draw up a list. The literature world, you couldn't do it in 100 years. The guy is learning around the clock. My learning is, you know, the old story. My learning keeps the country going. It's not the army, it's the learning. There may be some truth to that. The same thing here. My learning will bring a refuah shlemah for my grandfather. And the Sfardim too, there's that terrific feeling. You see the French coming in Aliyah. They had that feeling. So he appreciates the Shaila more than anyone. And he describes, again, this is all about reach. This is NCSY, this is Torah Leadership Seminar, which once was, this is Chabad. V'nirel anivadati. It appears to me that if your kavanas l'kavram, there's nothing better. They should feel the Vira Shabbos Kodesh and hear Kiddush. And make Netilah Shadayim with everyone, and hear Shabbos with Divrei Torah, and see the atmosphere, the feeling, the Bichat HaMazon. There's nothing like it in trying to bring them closer to Yiddishkeit. And he quotes, Chai Tova, Tova. No, that's, I put you one seat in front. We'll learn the name later. It's okay, I'll take names later. Happy to see you. Years ago I used to say any woman can come to my class, it's postgraduate. That level in life we can take advantage. The Rav taught, Tova Lichtenstein sat in my class. I can show you exactly where she sat. Take me back to room 102. She used to sit near the door because she said, if my father explodes, I can run out easily. She was there when her father was when he was in full force. It's not the Rav of the 70s who was like a mellowed, sentimental Zaidi. We had the Rav yet when he was, demanding. Coming back here, he quotes Rav Moshe Sternberg, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and then he quotes a Rav in Mexico. And he quotes the Rav in Mexico, that the Rav in Mexico absolutely paskin lahalacha, he quotes his sefer, gives you his name, it's somebody he knows from Israel originally, Harav Michael Peretz, and he too is matir lahalacha. And the truth is that the Sfardim, there's more than that. I can tell you a story, I once referred to it in the past years. There was a Rav Zion Levy in Panama, in South America. I believe it was in Panama City. And someone came to visit him, and he takes a look on Shabbos. They're going to shul, and this is the memoir literature, and everyone is driving up on Shabbos. So he turns to the Rav and says, what's going on here? You have all these people driving to shul. What kind of shul do you have? And Rav Zion Levy was a Talmud Chaver of Rav Avadya Yosef. We're not dealing here with small matters. And Rav Zion Levy says, Ani lo ro'eh kan beit kneset. Ani ro'eh kan beit cholim. That's the way he answered him. I see a beit cholim. No, if you do it at a beit cholim, you're allowed to be machal Shabbos. And by the way, I have to tell you, this continues in Panama. I just had a Talmud of mine who went there, had a very bad experience, did not survive long there. But the feeling I got checking it out, I didn't want to ask him what went wrong, I didn't want to hurt his feelings, But the feeling I got is they're matpin on kashrut. They're matpin on not intermarrying. You know that we spoke about this about 30 years ago when we did our Sherman Gayrut, that in South America, you're not allowed to intermarry even if the person converts. Are you aware of that? They put a chayrim. It began in South America, the Sfadik Rabbanim. It holds over in Deal, New Jersey. It holds over in Flatbush. The chief rabbi's daughter married a convert, and they literally, in popular language, excommunicated them. And they shoyn b'torah mitzvah. They shomrei Shabbos. It's a sister of a classmate of mine. And they're shomer mitzvah. They're in the greater YU world today. But it didn't help. They have a chayrim against intimate. But with all that, the chilul Shabbos continues. In other words, it's an amazing thing that they'll be shomer kashrut. They understand intermarriage. But the chilul Shabbos continues. So he quotes the Rav from Mexico City. But nevertheless, you cannot dismiss Reb Moshe Feinstein. And here we come to a very interesting attempt to explain Reb Moshe, and I'll deal with a question I just got from a dear student who's in New York City right now for an extended stay. And you all know Reb Moshe in the Tshuva uses the word, if you invite someone Friday night to your house, you have a din of a mesit. Uses the word mesit, but we always say mesit umetiach. Now those are very, very strong words. And first of all, with Reb Moshe, remember what I told you. And this is true of all of us. Took me a long time to learn not to fly off the handle. The famous story with the Rav, I told it in YU at the Rav's 25th yahrzeit, and the people there were floating in the air, you know, with laughter and tears. But I was ready. It was a very simple story. The Rav was in his prime. It's about 1953. I have the exact year in my notes. I figured it out. I may have reached in my Monday class in a different context. So the Rav was giving a pre-Pesach drasha in the basement of Shet. This wasn't Lamport. The crowd then was not that big. In 1954, I think 1956 was the first time they moved the Rav into Lamport because the fire department was upset that there was too big a crowd already in Harry Fishel Beis Medrash. I don't know what you call it today, but that's what it was called then. And let me recall Harry Fishel's name with awe. So he's giving a talk on Pesach, and then afterwards he takes questions. So a kid shoots at the Rav, Rebbe, are you allowed to use legume derivatives, what we call make kidneyot in Hebrew? So the Rav shoots back, no, I mean, we didn't use it in Lithuania, I mean, this nicht benutzt. So the kid continues, and he says, but Rebbe, the OU is giving hashgacha to Bartons, and Bartons uses corn syrup. So the Rav shot back right away, no man tarnished, you're not allowed. This was like on a Tuesday night. All I can tell you was Thursday morning, Mr. Stephen Klein, the owner of Barton's, with his lawyers, was in the yeshiva with Rabbi Belkin. You don't know what was going on. Friday morning, there was a quarter of a page ad in the New York Times that the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations and Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik declare their support and certification of Barton's candy. And believe me, the year afterwards, they didn't use corn syrup. But boy, that year, they used corn syrup. It was too late to change anything. And the YU would have been hit. The rubber would have been hit with a multi-million dollar lawsuit in terms of money of today. OU's giving hashgacha. OU said they can use it. So you got to learn you cannot shoot from the hip. Sometimes when you speak, when you're preaching, particularly a rabbi, you get carried away. Trump is an example. Trump should come to a homiletic class. Rabbi Lookstein should teach Clint for 10 years. He'll become a mensch. Trump, to me, is the greatest person alive, but he shoots from the hip. The president of the United States, de Blasio, just took out of the race. The president ripped them apart like we would rip apart Ted Williams if we're Joe DiMaggio fans. Ribbono shel Olam, grow up and be generous of spirit. But you can't shoot from the hip. At times it happens. And that's what I told you, Reb Moshe. I told you this, I repeat it again very quickly, just to put it into context. I was told, Reb Moshe's, I told you this story, Reb Moshe's grandson and great nephew came to see me because Reb Moshe wanted to write a tshuva. They wanted permission from me. I can't go into it now, it's not important. But they said to me, we got to talking about Reb Moshe, and they said to me that my grandfather only regrets one line that he wrote. What was the line? With the two flags, the American flag, the Israeli flag, and the shoe. And he writes, Harurim, the cursed maledicts the Zionist. And Reb Moshe regretted that. But he flew off the handle. And Ein Hachinami, that's the way from Jews, referred to the Zionist. Reb Chaim Brisker put a cherem against anything to do with Zionism of Agudat Israel, right or wrong. That was the attitude. Didn't the Munkacha and the Satma tell the Jews not to go in Aliyah? God forbid they'll go to Israel, they'll be ruined, they'll become Apikarsim, etc., etc. So Reb Moshe wrote like he was back in Europe in the 1920s, the 1930s. Didn't the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe call the Zionist absolute Apikarsim? Didn't the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe? All right, later in life it softened a little. But wow, okay, so Reb Moshe wrote that. You can't take that too seriously. The question of the flags, fine, Reb Moshe was matir. There's nothing wrong or right. It's not lechatchila. You have to bring in an American flag. I still get sick when I see Jews worshipping to an Israeli flag and an American flag. The Israeli flag, Mela, reminds you of Israel. But the American flag, since when is it a mitzvah to have an American flag near the Aron HaKodesh? But okay, they do it. Mishke Felach, they have due loyalty. I'll talk about it Thursday night in Beit Shemesh. Leave it for then. Okay, here too, I have a feeling Reb Moshe shot a little bit too quickly that to take it seriously 100%, he meant you're a meisit umeidiyach, I'm not certain. But again, you're dealing with a very thin line. We're very different than the conservative movement. If we're going to say you can invite your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your girlfriend's family to come and see your Shabbos, very different than the conservative movement, pardon me. Everyone knows, if you know the history of the conservative movement, there were very good people in the conservative movement. We'll come to the other class. People who felt that you make a little compromise and you get very far with the Jewish people. All right, these people meant well. But everyone agrees that the end of the conservative movement began with the responsum of 1953, where their matir driving to shul on Shabbos, three rabbis signed on, all three, Agus and Friedman and Adler, all three products of yeshivat, of day schools, and all three signed on, and from that moment it's a gradual downhill shift. Today, there's no difference whatsoever between the conservative movement and the reform movement as far as their thinking, their halachic outlook, their halachic gestalt, and who knows, Michael Arnold Eisen just resigned. You read about it? He's leaving. He gave them notice. Who knows who they're going to select next? And Arnold Eisen went to a wedding on King Motzoi Shabbos, the Clinton's daughter's wedding, ate at a treif soda, was present at a treif soda, the head of the conservative movement. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. Before 53, after 53. So we're dealing here with a very delicate issue. I don't want to dismiss Reb Moshe entirely that he flew off the handle. All right, maybe the Lashon is a little too stark, but nevertheless, it's Reb Moshe Feinstein. So believe it or not, Rav Shmuel Pinchasi tries to explain Reb Moshe. And this is a very interesting explanation. That he says maybe what Reb Moshe said refers to the fact he invited the person repeatedly. And even though he invited him repeatedly and he came at Fabrein Shabbos and he sang Zmiris, he never became a Shomer Shabbos. You see, it's a Fadobana. There's nothing a Fadobana. How do you do the Dove? Help me out. Ask your father how to translate it. Fadobana. I don't know. Yitzchak. Fadobana in English. Yitzchak. His native language is Yiddish. He's also.
Like he's stuck in a
Stuck in a rut, stuck in a rut, stuck in a afadobin, afadobin kite. It's in you, it's in you, it's lost. Right, it's like Rev Gorelick would tell off a kid and then get knockamolts at Yankee Stadium, first father, dubbin kite at Yankee Stadium at the Maggio, etc., etc. So, it's like what?
Repugnant.
I don't repugnant, but it's in you, you can't get it out of you. So you call, so this is his malamet zchut on Reb Moshe when he said a mesik umeidiacheli. He's talking about where you've invited them, and it reaches a point where you see you're having no influence. Now this, now it's a very delicate question. I got the following question from America. No. How many kids went to MTA and became Mechalalei Shabbos? How many kids had the finest chinuch in the world? Do I have to go any further than probably the next Prime Minister of the State of Israel, Benny Gantz? It's just America. Everyone's on the phone with me. They think I know I know the future. Dummies, I know as much as you know. Benny, but no one but, I just spoke with Muncie a few hours ago. I told him, your next door neighbor, old Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz, you know where he comes from? Hungary. The
first. He's a sophomore.
Don't give it away yet, Herbie. Let me develop it. His family was wiped out by Hitler. Of all that survived, the only ones that came to Israel were his parents. His parents, Shomrei Mitzvah, 100%. But they became Mizrachiites. Fine. The Rebbe also became a Mizrachiite. I'm going to write my next book. Be'ezrat Hashem. I'm going to deal with two topics I've dealt with that I always get endless questions. One is Das Teira. And a follow-up to that is how the Rebbe became a Mizrachiite. It ties together. Okay, but leave that for the future. The Abishut should give strength. Mm-hmm. Benny Gantz had the finest education possible. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that? What are you talking about? Yeshiva, high school, finest education. Not Haredi. When you tell me Haredi, I can understand the kid rebels. It's one of the big problems of the Haredi world. I'm dealing now with the Russian. We're going to try to open a school for second generation Russian Balei Tshuva. Because the percentage of kids leaving and spitting in their parents' face is unbelievable. Particularly with the Russians, you have to be brought. But the Haredi world, you understand, the kid wants to go to college, wants to go to university, wants to go to the army. They put him in Kherim, they laugh at him. All right, so a kid rebels. Benny Gantz had the finest chinuch. Now, the rest of the family that survived wound up in America. You know where they are today? Herbie Maltz just came back from visiting them in Kiryat Yoel. You know where that is, Herbie? A little further up from Muncie. I just spoke with Muncie.
My son has an office there.
Ah, so you know what I'm talking about. Kiryat Yoel. Kiryat Yoel, the newspapers interviewed his relatives. Your cousin, chief of staff. Oh, we're ashamed of him at Tzionia, Noisva for Russia, and Apikiris. But they said they believe he puts on tefillin every morning. Eli, you can't talk. It hurts my voice. It's psychological, but you have to live with it. I'll tell you better. You know, for 46 years, I had my own minyan at the Kotel Friday night. 5 years ago, my feet gave out meniscus. You should. Everyone of my age has meniscus, one way or another. It's a part of the part of 90% of the men I know have meniscus. I walk normally. I was thrown out of physical therapy because they said, "You walk normally." I walk normally, but they're right. But I'm limited what I can walk. Used to be able to walk an hour on that. Today I can walk 20 minutes. That's it. But my daughter went to the Kotel Friday night a few weeks ago. My daughter who lives near us. And she came back. She was ibigarashed, overwhelmed. She told me, with big crowd, everything normal. And there was Benny Gantz stabbing in a corner with two guards around him, stabbing like any other Jew. Seinfeld. What's Seinfeld's first name?
Jerry.
I said Jackie. I made him into a Yaakov. Jerry Seinfeld. Probably also Yaakov. Jerry Seinfeld, you know the way he was raised. His mother intermarried. Had she not intermarried, he would have been a frum kid 100%. She married an Ashkenazi. I taught Jerry Seinfeld's first cousins. They're tzaddikim. I can tell you where they are today, who they are. Tzaddikim. Mamish tzaddikim. But his mother, a Svadiya, a daughter Mizrach from Flatbush, married an Ashkenazi, and right, the results are kashrut remained, but Shabbat disappeared. So he knows how to daven. Are you going to call him Rabbi Kairos? Had the best chinuch in the world, the best education in the world. This is a very delicate question. Because a kid went to MTA, a kid went to Teira Vadas, a kid went to Lakewood, a kid went to Teira Chaim Berlin. I know one Chaim Berlin guy from my days in Bnei Akiva. My brother was very close to him. He was a drop younger than I am. Suddenly I get correspondence from him. So I said, well, what happened to this guy? He's a Talmud of Rav Hudna. And Abbi Koyriskam wanted me to sign on some article he wants to publish. I told him I didn't want to hurt him. I just said, I'm a Talmud of the Rav and Reb Aaron Cutler, Reb Moshe Feinstein, and I have no problem with my Rebbeim. I don't look for new worlds. But they had the best in the world. But gentlemen, in my humble opinion, there is no apikoros today. They have a din of a tinuk shenishpa because the world hits away at us willy-nilly. All of us are exposed to different values. Not all of us are learned enough, are smart enough, intellectually honest enough to separate the truth from the falseness. And I give you a simple example. Herbie, tens of thousands of frum Jews voted for Benny Gantz. Tens of thousands, if not more. If not 100,000 plus. And I know some of them. And I said, how could you vote for Gantz's party? Lapid is in it. Gantz Mela. Lapid, such enmity. No, Lapid's not wrong. Of course, the army issue, I don't want to minimize. That's our worst, most difficult problem that Haredim don't serve in the army yet. It's changing now. I know from my own grandchildren their attitude, and I can't say a word to them because every last one served in the army. I'm the first to serve in the army from the Rothkopf family after 2,000 years of exile. All my sons-in-law, well, my brother's family, our grandchildren, there's not one who didn't serve in the army. I actually have my first career officer beginning right now. One of my youngest grandson's grandchildren, he's the young, maybe the youngest. If he's not the youngest, he's certainly the youngest male. He now begins 7 years career officer at Tudai. What a kid. He won Vic Snow Shoe, once needed a Balkora. He walked 40 minutes, can lay in any pasha. With one minute, give him notice, and he's... what a Baruch Hashem. Anyway, coming back here. Buses on Shabbos? I'm hearing with my own ears. What's wrong? We go to shul, let them go to the beach. What's wrong? We can't force them. So buses run to the beach. What's wrong? Steve, when you talk like that, you have allowed the Christian enlightened world to totally influence you. You are a Christian Jew. Shoma Shabbos, 100%. Shoma Kashrut, 100%. Parat Mishpah, 100%. Learning Torah, 100%. And you are still a Christian Jew. No? Ellie, what do I mean by that? Effie, what do I mean by that? What do I mean? No? It's very simple. What's the concept of religion in the Western world? It's a personal concept. What is your name, young lady?
Ariane.
Ariela?
Ariane.
Ariane. Oh, that's right, Ariane. That's a hard one for me. It's the first Ariane I've ever taught. Ariane. Ariane. One second. One second. I have to We have to get more names down. I'll pass this around later. I need more paper. Baruch Hashem. Arian. Spell it A-R-I-A-N.
N-E.
In other words, it's N at the end. But it's pronounced Arian.
Yes.
Not Arian. Arian. Weinstein. When I see your husband, I think of Michael. He told you my connection to Michael, not a small matter. Where did you go to school?
For high school.
High school?
I'm from Chicago, so it's Ida Crown.
Ida Crown, Chicago. And college?
Stern.
Ariane, have you read Washington? What's the idea I developed in Washington? Basic Yiddishkeit. The Christian world, religion is an individualistic matter. You are a Jew, you are a Catholic, you are a Protestant, you are a Muslim. It is individual choice. There is nothing beyond the individual. You're an American's nationality, Canadian. France and Germany fought over Alsace-Lorraine about 5 times in history. Millions of lives were killed, Christian killing Christian. Christmas, they had a truce. They played soccer together. And one day later, the very people you were playing soccer with, you were killing and shooting and murdering. That's the Christian concept. Judaism is very different. Everyone in this room has a dual existence. Moshe Avrik is both an individual and a communal Jew. As individuals, yes, we stand before God, our own rate of mitzvot, sins, accomplishments, etc. Very individualistic choice. Freedom of choice. I have no desire to go into anyone's hut or house or anyone's pot. Freedom of choice. You can live like a monkey or you can live like a human being, a great Jew. In addition to our individual commitment, we are part of the Jewish people. It's a public unity, Kahal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, Am Yisrael. This is the famous question. I write about this in Washington. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 1976. I was in the middle of basic training in the IDF. Moshe, remember when you did basic training? Did you have a sicha from the Katzin Chinuch once a week? They still have that shtick. You what?
It was very short basic training.
Very short, you're lucky. Mine was also short.
In the American Army, they have that once a month?
Once a month. We had once a week. The Katzin came in, told a good story, get you proud of what the IDF can achieve. By the way, the stories I heard are all published by Bergman in his book on the Mossad. Years later, I was able to read what I heard. The second week, the Katzin Chinuch, who was all of a second lieutenant, gets up and he's repeating the lecture he gave a week earlier. So I figured, gee, this is great. We can sleep with our eyes open. You know why I'm saying, Effie, you know what I'm saying with my eyes open? Because if they saw your eyes closed, they poked you. Suddenly, the Russians, I didn't know Russian mentality yet. My involvement with the Mossad begins May of 1980. This is April of 76. The Russians start yelling, Yomo, Shamanu, Shamanu. And the Shmendrek, pardon me, steps. He had one talk to give. Could you imagine one talk? I know people like that. There's a famous professor who always bothers me. How can you give such detailed term, so many different topics. He's an expert. I don't want to mention what he says. He's an expert on one topic, what he did his doctorate on. All right. Ribono shel Olam, your Katzin Chinuch had more than one talk prepared. He steps down, Scott. Word of honor, this all happened. And I'm sitting there minding my own business, and in basic training, you're a chayal, you don't have a name. They have to break you as an individual. You have to become part of an army, something that, Scott, you never dreamt about in Chicago. Because the Torah world, Rezer, Godlet Hadam, Bishvili Nivra Hadam. With that attitude in the army, the Arabs will be dancing on Harabayat with the Kotel destroyed a minute later. You understand me? You got to break the individual. Hayalcha, suddenly the master sergeant comes, he was Turkish, comes over me, Kvod Harav. You idiot, how do you know? Kvod Harav, anachni odim shata yodeya eich ninon, tatsil et hamatzav. I got up and I gave the best talk of my life that changed my entire life afterwards, because whatever happened afterwards, read Washington. It all happened, it's all true, every syllable. So I get up, and here I am, a bunch of, I don't want to use the word, but I'll just say AKs. We were all the age, because to do basic training, this is after the Yom Kippur War, they took everyone. We were all between 35 to 40. None of us that healthy already, you know, regular people, 35 to 40. And here we are from Germany, France, Russia, Poland, America, South Africa, Israel, all types of characters. And I said, tell me, was Avraham Avinu a Jew? Was Yitzchak Avinu a Jew? Was Yaakov Avinu a Jew? And if they were Jewish, why did we need Matan Torah? Why do we need a second Brit? Und Vedalah, either or. If they're Jewish, no need for Brit Sinai. And if they're not Jewish and Brit Sinai turns us into Jews, wow. What an inference. Avraham Avinu, you're going to daven, you daven to the Avraham and the Yitzchak and the Yaakov. You're mentioning the God of Gentiles? No, did you ever ask this question? Who asked it? The Mishnah Melech. It's a Sefer of Drush. Rabbi Yehuda Rozan's 22 pages he takes to answer this question. And the heart of the answer is there are two. It's Al Pashat Rachim, the Sefer is called. There are two Kritot HaBrit. One is with the Avot, one is with Dor Sinai Yotzei Mitzrayim. With the Avot, it's an individualistic Brit. We're all Jews like Christians. There's no difference. It's an individual choice. There's no concept of a peoplehood. With Maimar HaSinai, we're given the Torah. Torah is not just given to individuals. It's given to Am Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Kahal Yisrael. With the giving of the Torah, and particularly with entering the land, I'm citing a Tosfos now in Sanhedrin, entering the land of Israel, the whole concept of Yisrael Arei V'mzeh L'zeh takes place. This is why before Matan Torah, to prepare ourselves, Arian, Korban Pesach. Hold on, Yitzhak. 1 second, let me...
That's why there was
a... One second. What does Korban Pesach mean? Korban Pesach, all you had to eat was a kezayit. Al Hasova! Steve, you just finished the meal that Steve Bressler served Friday night, and now you're going to eat? You can just manage a little kezayit. 100 Jews. Did you read Josephus where he describes the Korban Pesach? Hundreds of Jews gathered together on one Korban Pesach. Do you know why? To show that you're ready to receive the Torah, to become an Am, interlocked, interconnection. A Jew functions on two levels. How many Jews understand this? You can have the finest chinuch in the world. Unfortunately, the New York Times, the computer, the Israeli newspapers, Yediot, the most widely sold newspaper in Israel. Didn't I yell and shout a week ago? Last Friday, a picture of guns on the front page. And what is he doing? Shaving with a razor in Issa d'Oraita. Who cares? Who knows? Who's interested? Christian world has influenced us all. We vote for Lapid. We vote for buses running on Shabbos. Tell me, Ellie, did you study Nach? Avodah Zarah? Why does it matter that there was so much Avodah Zarah? You didn't worship idols. There were Jews who didn't worship idols. But Am Yisrael, the public thoroughfare, Avodah Zarah, God gets angry. B'pnei chataeinu galinu me'atzeinu. Chilul Shabbos today is the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. When you make Kiddush, you acknowledge there's a God. When you don't make Kiddush, there's no God, there's no constraint, there's no surrender, there's no withdrawal. I can do whatever I want. I'm the king. I'm the individual. Just don't harm anyone else. They arrested that ball player. A ball player, I don't think you were here. I mentioned it a few minutes ago, an hour ago, Michael. You read a Pittsburgh Pirate pitchers in jail now. He had relations with a 13-year-old girl. All right. But if the girl would have been 16, age of consent in many states, he'd be pitching today. It's a different world, a different concept. Shmirat Shabbat is the touchstone of whether we start to understand where Jews Seichel and Maaseh Bereishit, Seichel and Tziat Mitzrayim, it all ties together. And unfortunately, a kid can go to MTA and he can have the best rebbeim. I'm not now talking about any scandals, and it's very sad. Everyone thinks MTA is filled with scandals. I went to MTA as a student. It was the greatest 4 years of my life. That's all I can say. Everything I've studied subsequently, everything I know, everything I want to know is a result of those 4 years in MTA. And the greatest thing, we got the greatest teachers, but you're reading the New York Times. It's the brainwashing, the choice, the pluralism I spoke about. And I don't believe we can declare a kid an apikoros today. It's a tinuk shenishba. And even though we fail and we fail and we fail, we never know, may I quote Martin Hebrew, Matai Yipol HaAsimon. By the way, that's going to go out of existence. No one knows what an Asimon is today anymore. Remember when we came in Aliyah, remember what they used to do in BMT? They used to tie a hair to the Asimon, send it down, make the call, and then pull it up again with the hair. Thieves, robbers, but kids are kids, okay. Kids are kids. But I don't believe Reb Moshe can feel the way he did. I don't want to minimize it. I deep in my heart, I agree with Reb Moshe more than with Reb Shlomo. I personally, but I have Haredi tendencies, extreme tendencies. And I never say the last Rabbi Betna, she calls me the Haredi member of the faculty of Gris. And I'm Baruch Hashem, I don't deny. I've learned with the Rav. I knew the Rav intimately. If you're going to declare me a Haredi, what would you declare the Rav? You understand? The Rav blew shofar looking at a stopwatch for the seconds. Right or wrong, Yitzchak. With the tekiyot and the shvarim and the trua and the chumris, al chumris. Well,
he made them crazy.
Alright, but that was the Rav. I remember David Hartman came back from Boston. He was there at Shoshana Yom Kippur. I'm talking before, long before anyone here was born. I'm talking the mid-50s. And Duvi Hartman came back so inspired. The Rav. So someone asked Duvi, never forget in the Beis Medrash, someone asked Duvi, is this what God requires of us? To blow shofar with a stopwatch? And Duvi said, no, we're regular Jews. But we need now a generation, people like the Rav, the example. And take a look what became of Duvi Hartman. You follow me, Ellie? Look what became of Duvi Hartman. That in that office where I sit, I yelled and screamed at him, Duvi, this is what you're writing about your Rebbe. Guts are uphidden. But you see, this is why Rav Pinchasi makes a good attempt to justify Reb Moshe, but I think it falls short. We have to be more benevolent and we have to understand the impacts of life. And if Rakefet got up and gave this talk in public, 90% of the people, yeah, he's a nice guy, doesn't know he's talking about this, what, I'm Yisrael, I'm myself, I care, you, who cares, people, etc. But let's talk the Skut Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, if you've ever lived here at a time of tension, the people here are fabulous. And they rally Ka'am Echad. And we cannot put the people down. We have a schut, a lot more than Kiryat Yoel. And I can tell you from my own experience, Lo Aleinu, when my grandson was injured in the last war, in the hospital when they operated on him, a chaver of mine, his son was doing residency there as a doctor, came down and held his hand through the whole operation. And then people came around giving out food. And my daughter asked, this Sephardic lady came in with a big pot. My daughter asked her, from what restaurant is it? And the lady thought like she was asking for kashrut. And the lady said, lo, lo, zemei habayit shali. V'kol harabanim ochlim etzli. And then stewardesses from El Al came to visit the injured, the wounded. And my daughter asked them, is El Al officially sending you? They said, no, our flight was canceled. And we decided we had free time to come. And it was just overwhelming, the outpouring. My daughter wrote an article about it. I have it in my, it's my famous daughter.
So do we have to wait for serious crisis for that?
Yitzchak, that's why you and I are around, to inspire, to teach, to lead. Yitzchak, believe me, I know that you're nice all the time, and I try to be nice all the time. Believe me. What did you want to say about Moav?
Oh, the Rav developed the idea.
Yitzchak is from Boston, so he knew the Rav better than I did. Yes.
I don't think so. But anyway, the Rav developed the idea. What was that Sinai? So he wrote that Ava Moab, just before they went into the Israel,
right,
included Ladovot. Sinai was only with the generation.
But that generation.
And but this is Ladovot. And second, it included the issue of Avot.
Issue of?
Avot. Of collectivity, which the other one didn't have. So that's the way the road saw it.
Right, that the second bridge, you're talking about the Avanim and all that happened that we just read in the Torah. All right, and let me, okay, one second, before I go further, let me see if I have paper. No, I only have this paper. Okay, so you know what we should do? Can I have a sheet of your paper? A matana, shalom manach lahagasir. If anyone didn't sign in last week, and you're going to come to class, which I'm very happy about, because with all the thousands listening, I need students in front of me. Do you know that people here came to me that they've studied with me for years, and they can't take the class. They're busy with Gittin. I thought they're writing Gittin in the morning, the way they said it. I don't know. The color was established that I'm part and parcel of what's being taught. All right, but let it be. So then they want to talk with me privately. I don't have time. I only talk to students. I have to know you. People are in touch with me. I don't want to mention what community from here. I know already what I'm touching upon. They want to come see me. Ribbono shel Olam. Who gives me my shiurim? This is not from a book, not from a sefer. I work day and night. My writings, etc., my learning, I have to finish Shas a third time, make a chazaka that I tried my best at least to know it all. But students are mine forever. There's an obligation I make to them. So if you're going to come, fill in your name and a drop of background, etc. Pass that down. If you didn't sign in last week, and then I'll rearrange the list. Okay, now, I want to finish out the Minchat Shmuel, and he said, at the end, he summarizes the tshuva, and he's mekhil lahalacha. You have to ask them, obviously, please sleep over, but you're not responsible if they don't. And then he says something very interesting. Lamrot kol hamur shelo tia shum hashpa'a shlilit al chinuch banav ubenotav. And here, and he spells it out. And here you have a very interesting addendum. How do you do all this without it being a negative influence on your children? And remember, if you have someone coming to your house driving, and you don't yell and shout at him, Machal Shabbos, Ochlein Develot and Treifat, Baru Bilot Asurat, the kids reach a very simple conclusion. Pluralism. Freedom of choice. Alright? It's not a simple matter. He goes further. Not just the Shmirat Shabbat. How do we dress? How do we dress? Shabbat, alright, I admit I've living here more than 50 years. I'm part of the Mizrahi scene, as I knew it. Shabbos, a white shirt, a white kippah. So much so that one time I'm wearing a white shirt during the week, and one of my grandsons says to me, Sabu, Zalo Shabbat Hayom. It's not Shabbat. I was very proud of that kid. You understand? He identified the white shirt. It happened I was going to a Sheva Brachas or a Simcha, I was speaking, whatever. But now you invite someone Friday night, and I don't know, I've looked around. You said to see the way the youth dresses with the pants. The women, men, they wear pants, particularly the girls, right? Women wear pants, it's not the end of the world, alright? The pants are sneer stick, I don't have to tell you, the rub was mati. I mean, I'm not paskin la halacha now, don't misunderstand me. But at one time in the early 70s, I was living in Israel already, I heard the rub in America, if they wear a pantsuit to Stern College, it was mati. And but today you see women, they're wearing pants, and they must be very poor, and these are millionaires' girls. Their parents throw $1,000 bills at them, and the pants are cut, shredded. You like it's you know what I'm talking about? At the knees, it's like we burnish a loylem. And this is considered stylish. No, and they come to your table. They come to your table Friday night. They come to your table Friday night. You follow? They come to your table Friday night. Or, for instance, we now have, I heard the Yosef Mizrahi. Again, no one is kind enough to listen to him. I give out the tapes, no one listens. I want to know someone else's opinion. I mean, and I can't criticize him, because there was a Talmud in this Kollel, a Talmud Mufak of mine, who was made from by Yosef Mizrahi. So if he made this Rav Avraham Rachman from, I can't say a negative word. But nevertheless, I want your feedback too. I think he's oversexed. I don't know how you can talk like that in public to a mixed crowd. I wouldn't even talk like that to men only. And I think he puts too much stress on fear, on fear. I don't want to make people, how do you know what's going on in hell? He can tell you on every level of hell how many fires there are, what they're going to do. Yosef Mizrahi, from Queens, he's a preacher. You never heard of him. They wouldn't let him into England now, because he came out against homosexuals, and he attacked the chief rabbi of England for issuing a statement which he felt was too watery, too double talk-like. And they wouldn't let him into England. It was in the news this year. Here, Yomo will testify that it's Yosef Mizrahi who made Avram Rachman from. Yomo, yes or no? Yomo says yes, and Yomo never lies on a Sunday in Yerushalayim. Believe me. Excuse me? Avram Rachman used to sit right there. You were in class already. He's out of the kollel maybe 2 years already? 2 years. His daughter, his wife, Dina, addressed the Russians when I had the Russians here earlier this year, Monday. Anyway, so he's now going after tattoos. And Einach Inami, you see people walk around. I see it in Israel too. their whole hand tattooed up. Then they become balei tshuva. And remember, the tattoo, there's nothing wrong with it. Once they do it, the Iser is doing it. It's allowed. But once it's done, it's done. And yet I know a doctor. I know a doctor who takes the tattoos off for balei tshuva for nothing. A very fancy doctor. You go to him, it's thousands of dollars. He deals with women who want to look nice, don't want to show their age, etc. But if it's tattoos, balei tshuva, he takes it off for nothing. And so someone comes to your table Friday night, here are kids who are learning in the yeshiva, know about the prohibition of tattoos, and they take a look. Here, this guy is all decorated with tattoos. Where do you draw the line? And this is a very delicate problem. The Heber children testified that their father would let the Russian play the violin, didn't rebuke him, and they came out of it B'nai Torah. It is related, and all of you know that I have an understanding of Lubavitch. Not everyone understands Lubavitch. Those of you who heard my shurim, it's still being listened to by thousands across the world. I had a special into Lubavitch. My best friend, Yitzchak knows who I'm talking about, Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Groner, he was in BTA, I was in MTA. We were late in Yeshiva College together. He went on Aliyah right from college. When we came in Aliyah in 69, he was here already a few years, and we renewed our friendship for decades. He was my closest friend. Unfortunately, he died relatively young. So I had a direct in. If you recognize the name Groner, his uncle was Reb Leibel, the Rebbe's right hand, and they were cousins of the Rebbe. So I understand Lubavitch. I understand very well, but I want you to know people came to the Rebbe, and they're shluchim. And you know what it means, shluchim? You're all over the world. You go to a community, there's no Yiddishkeit, there's no minyan. It's sometimes overwhelming to see where these Lubavitcher shluchim wind up. And even when they succeed, as I told you, the shliach down in beyond Los Angeles, more south, the shliach there told me that he never wins. When he makes a family from, he loses them. So what the kid? What does it mean loses? They either move to Brooklyn or go in Aliyah. So what do you do about a kid? What do you do about your children growing up? So the Rebbe, they went to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe answered, "I am responsible that the kids will be from." I don't know percentage wise. It's not 100%. But Herb Moore. Percentage-wise, it's not 100%, but I do know that the percentage among the Chabad children being raised in nowhere is very high, remain from, but it's a tremendous problem. When they're little, what Chabad does, they are technological. One second. They're technological geniuses. Chabad is way ahead of Yeshiva University with technology. And the kids all over the world have their own school online. Are you aware of that? Where they interact, they have classes. They try to get them together once a year so that the kid can be stranded in, for the sake of argument, someplace in Africa, but he sees other kids like him. And they take a certain pride in their existence. And the percentage of the shluchim's children who become shluchim is very, very high. It's a credit to the parents, a credit to the Rebbe, a credit to Chabad. But the problem is absolutely real. And what's the influence on the children? And no one here can have a total guarantee that it won't negatively influence them. And that's why when we did with Mordechai Elephant his memoir that Yitzchak doesn't like, it's not a question of not liking. It's a question, who is this man? He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Itri, he's a Bucky and Kutchin, a Talmud of a Baron Cutler, or a gunrunner, a gangster, international connections, all the way to Libya. and Gaddafi, and who the heck does he think he is? Rakefet boasting that he knows Joe DiMaggio. Rakefet shook hands with Joe DiMaggio. That is a fact. It's in Washington. And when Rakefet wrote Washington, he did not lie. Take my word for it. He was like Yomo Sunday in Yerushalayim. But there you see his wife. His wife goes crazy with allowing that guy to answer the phone, to be Mechallel Shabbos. What are you doing to our home? And he laughs. He says to his wife, he couldn't care less. I invite him in. I can't force him. I got to give him freedom of choice. And ultimately, as you know, assuming that the story is correct, ultimately that kid becomes a Shema Torah mitzvah, and all he does is learn. He just works enough to make a living, nothing beyond. All right, it's an open issue. Let me go one step further, and then I'll summarize. This just appeared now, and it's what I'm talking about. How many of you know Chabad? How many know the inner workings of Chabad? The shlichut, the what they've done all over the world. So here, there's the name Raskin. The name Raskin is one of the most famous names in Chabad. His grandfather, the Rebbe, sent him to Morocco. And what his grandfather accomplished in Morocco, Reb Label Raskin, he was there till he died. He died in Morocco. Could be he's even buried there. And this is an American family. His father was the shliach, or still is, in Burlington, Vermont. And these people go in and they do and they accomplish. And now the son, the grandson, just became a shaliach, or a shaluach, as they say, sent by the Rebbe to a Beit Knesset in Petach Tikva. He is the shaluach to a Chabad shul in central Petach Tikva. Now, this interview with him is very fascinating. Petach Tikva, again, you all know the city today. It must be, if not 50% Shomer Shabbos, it's very close to it. It has a very large frum community. It's not that far from Bar Ilan. You had there the original Litvish Yeshiva, Yeshivat Lamsha, was in Petach Tikva before Panovich took off. That was the top yeshiva in Israel, with Chevron in Yerushalayim. And here you have Petach Tikva, and a lot of from Jews. But this Chabad shul is an outreach shul. It's an old-time Chabad shul, but today there are not that many Chabadnikim. Chabad has pulled more to Kfar Chabad, Yerushalayim, Tzvat, and you have a lot of people who are not really Chabadnikim who come to the shul. And he says that the Chabad community, which I heard, unlike most other communities in Israel, is not an exclusively from neighborhood. The community is made up of different types of Jew. Those who grew up in Chabad, Balei Tshuva, new to Chabad. And he says, the She'elot we get are very different than many other Chabad locations in Israel. For instance, and the first example is the one we're dealing with, parents are not yet from. Can you invite them Friday night? More than that, can you use non-mavushal wine with your parents at the table? Now just think what I'm raising here, what I'm saying. These are your parents, and you're worried stiff. Mechallel Shabbos touched the wine, and it is, you can't use it. Can't drink from it.
There's other opinions on that.
One second, Yitzchak. Elal, if you notice, the OU Hekshu on Elal does not apply to the wine, or the Rabbanit Hekshu. I think OU already is, it just depends on the Rabbanit in Israel. And the Rabbanit, if you ever read, when they give you a meal, there's a pit kit, a little paper attached to it, that gives you all, tells you, if you order regular, so they tell you the rolls need until you have to wash and bench, the dairy products may not be Chalav Yisrael, if you order regular. If you order Glatt Kosher, So they try to, they give you roles that they claim, according to some big machlokes, why you people, all the Rosh Hashiva, and why you were opposed, but the Hasidic world accepts it. To, you don't have to make a motzi, it's egg rolls, a mazonat. The dairy products are glut, okay? And the wine, they cannot say anything about the wine because they're chayshish, they can bring in all the wine is kosher, but you bring in non-mavusha wine. And if non-mavusha wine, you have the problem of stam yenum, if goyim or machalal shabbos touch it. Why non-mavusha wine? Why should you use it? So I have to admit, I have very little taste for wine. I've developed a little bit of a taste living in Israel, but we grew up, what wine was available when we were kids? Manischewitz, or it's Concord, or Malaga, that was the extent. So Shapiro, Lifshitz wine, remember? Gnelis Langer, Manischewitz, Tafkin we never used because it was always Chshash on their Kashrut. Today it's under the OU, it's all sub-job. The wine may all be from one factory. The matzah is all from Israel. It's an amazing thing. Outside of Chicago's matzah, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, the Chavkei, all the other matzah is made in Israel today. Manischewitz stopped manufacturing. It's beyond words. If you look carefully, it says distributed by. So why do you use non-mavushal? Use mavushal. But the connoisseurs tell me that pasteurizing the wine, it doesn't have the same taste. That you take away, it's a whole machlokes, by the way, how much heat you need, but maybe pasteurizing may not be enough, but you boil it, whatever. It's a machlokes hapaiskim, but let's assume it's heated up that according to everyone it's already yain mavushal, the taste is not the same. So a connoisseur of wine, let's say he's flying business class, all right, in the tourist class, I don't know how many connoisseurs there are, but in the business class already, oh, to him it's a big difference that if it's mavushal, not mavushal, that's where the problem begins. So, what do you say, Steve?
In regular, I've checked, looked at the bottle in the regular, right, fancy, and the bottle, first of all, the bottles are now, they're not corks.
Right.
And they're mavushal.
And it says yain mavushal on it. I know that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So you should know all the wine I ever buy, it's always a makpid to buy mavushal if I should ever have a cup. You know, but then people give me bottles of wine, good bottles that I can barely appreciate, and I see there it says lo mavushal. Lo mavushal. So on the LL plane, there's no control. So what do you do? What do you do? You don't have to drink wine. But why do they bring lo mavushal? Ah, because the taste is much more superior. I cannot vouch for this because I don't have the background. You know, people smell wine. You ever see? They can smell. They tell you, and they win awards. The Israeli wine, the Golan Heights, Hebron. They shake it. And, all right, it's a whole lot. I don't put it down. Yain Yisamach Levish. It's very, very much a part of our heritage. Shabbos and Kiddush and Yontif and Purim. All right, Purim we can do without. That's a different story. Getting drunk is a disgrace, but that we'll leave for another time. But what do you do if your parents are coming? They're not Shomer Shabbos, but they're experts in wine, and you cannot serve them wine that's mavushal. All right, that's quite an interesting question. Here it comes up. But now, listen to this question. In one instance, a family asked if they can chip in with the rest of their family to buy their elderly father an electric wheelchair. Look, what's the problem? On one hand, the father who is not yet frum will certainly use the chair on Shabbat. However, if they refuse, that will damage their relationship with the whole family and make them even more distant from Yiddishkeit. No? What do you say about that question? fascinating. Whoever thought of it?
You can just give it to someone. If you buy the wheelchair, go to someone, they'll fix it up, and it becomes a Shomer Shabbos wheelchair.
No. But the problem is the father will use it on Shabbos.
Okay, but they fix it up on Shabbos. They have, you know, the electric wires, you know, whatever right. The story is, they have bypasses and things like that.
Oh, yeah. No. So what you're talking is they should buy the Chathila from Somet. But evidently, whatever this question is, that's an easy answer. For whatever the reason is, he can't do it. It could be that the wheelchair they need, Somet doesn't make it. Somet, I'm well aware of. Somet is fabulous. What Somet has done. All right. But Zalopashut, I once was in a community in Beverly Hills, and this Talmud of mine there, Zichrona Livracha, died young. And he was in a Tzomet contraption. And he's following us, walking me, talking with me on Shabbos. And he's driving, you know, at the Tzomet. And my wife is too firm. She was upset by it. I told her, look, it's the only way you can get the shul. It's a Tzomet device. There's so many materium, etc. Grammar, you're touching. But you're right. That would be an easy solution. Whatever the reason is, the family already had bought the wheelchair. It never dawned upon them, let's say, to ask for a grummer. I don't think you can put a grummer device in once the wheelchair's a wheelchair. Or even if you say to them about doing it, they're looking at you like you're crazy. Who has to use the wheelchair? It works. It's fine. It's good. It solves the problem. Let them use it. So these questions hang fire. But it all comes back to the way in which we live. And there's no way of separating ourselves totally in the ghetto. These problems are as real as Jewish existence. What do we do if Benny Gantz comes to our house and we want to drink a l'chaim with him and the only wine I have is man mevushel? What do you do? What do you do if Bibi Netanyahu comes to your house and you want to break bread with him and he's not going to wash, and he's not going to make a motzi, and maybe he won't even put a kippah on his head? What do you do? And it becomes a lot more serious with inviting people Friday night, where chabatnikim, then you go one step further. What do you do with the parking lot? We spoke about this. All right, halacha lemaisa. We've spent many, many weeks on this question. It's a fascinating question, a PhD thesis can be done on it. There's so much material. Halacha l'maisa Yitzchak, if one wants to be mekil, yesh al mi l'smoch.
Jews develop that. Who are the ones that are mekil on
Yayin? You're talking about with the Yayin? That's not Rabbi, already for Rabbi Akiva's time we find that there's no tinik shenishpa. That if a Jew touches the Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, Germany, I have a feeling the Rav would also be mekil. There's no tinok, they're all tinoka chinishbu bizman hazeh. To say that a Jew has a status of an akum, I would not say that. So lachatchila, if you can get mevushel wine, which is readily available in Israel, it solves all problems. But I would never make an issue if someone had the wine that's not mevushel and he's a Jew. I wouldn't embarrass him. It's, you can't do that, Bismar Hazeh. It's a tinek shenishpa. You can't make an issue out of it. But driving is with parhesia. People see the driving. People know about it. And we're haunted by the question, where are we different from the conservative movement? If we allow it, and we already see that people said there's some Chabad synagogues that have parking lots open Shabbos. In Stamford, Connecticut, the big Orthodox shul, I'm an aid neman. With my own eyes, I saw the parking lot open on Shabbat. I asked my student, who's the rabbi, and he said there's nothing he can do about it because the previous rabbi, Rabbi Joe Aaron, Rabbi Aaron Krantz, who was the rabbi there for 46 years or so and was ashamed of it, he permitted it. No, what do you want? And in Atlanta, Georgia, the parking lot open on Shabbos, the big, big Orthodox shul, a bastion of Balei Tshuva. Well, how do you handle this? Where do you draw the line?
Aaron Krantz's father was a rabbi in Newark.
That's correct. That's right. I knew him too. That is correct. His father was a Rabbi Newick, and his brother, who was an accountant, was a member of my shul. And if you want more, his brother's wife was the niece of Naftali Hirtz Imba. Who are we talking about, Dov? His brother's wife, secretary, treasurer of my sisterhood. Treasurer of my sisterhood. Her uncle wrote Hatikva. And whenever I meet a Jew who doesn't sing Hatikva, I beat him up, I punch him, I slug him, I call him a dummy, a bummy, a tinuk shenishpa, and I tell him all you have to do is change one word. If it bothers you, liot amshi, I don't know why, elaham chavshi, but that should bother you. Ein adam chavshi elamishosek b'torah. But if that bothers you, sing liot amskula b'yatzeinu. Got it? No. Substitute chavshi skula b'chavshi. I understand. Okay, have it. Yitzchak, I'm not arguing with you, but if it really bothers him, if a sakma will sing Hatikva and all he has to do is change Chavshi L'Skula, I will buy him a gift reading Skula in golden letters.
And you think that's going to make a difference?
Well, for some of the people it does make a difference. Not for our Kefir and not for Reuben.
To say, not religious Jews, a Chavshi Im. Do they think that way? No. We just
want to
be independent in our own country.
Say, but modern Hebrew, the word chavshi has the connotation of throwing kol haTorah kula down the sewer.
That's only among those who hate religious Medina. And they made that up. Really, it has the connotation.
Yitzchak, I agree with you. I sing liot am chavshi ani lo motziyat atzmi me'aklal. But if I'm arguing with the Satmar Rebbe, believe me, if our only problem is segula, we will buy it. So, all right, what did we do today? Today, the heart of the tshuva was Rav Pinchasi, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Tinuk Shinishba. These questions haunt us. There's no black and white answer. To a certain degree, it's like Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni, there's no one in the world who can solve the problem. If you're machmir, you're mekil. If you're mekil, you're machmir. There's no way out of the Yontif Sheni quandrum. But Yontif Sheni is Yontif Sheni. It's something we deal with in the Torah. It's like 1 second. We deal with in the Torah community, not beyond. But the problem of Shabbos and inviting, this is something that's real because we're dealing here with Reform, Conservative, with Chavshiyim, Chiloniyim. There's tremendous outreach going on in Tel Aviv today. And how do you deal with it, man? I can tell you, I have a student in Tel Aviv, a Rabbi Nikahila. He took a shul that had 13 people Friday night. Today there are 300 people Friday night. A Talmud from here, Ariel Constantine, should live and be well with his wife, Cheryl. Terrific rabbi. I saw him in America, and then he came on Aliyah, and I was with him in his Kehila there. He was in the Kollel in the late 1990s. I remember Derek Jeter just broke into the major leagues. I remember discussing Derek Jeter with him at the time, long before he became an idol, a Hall of Fame person, etc. And Arion, out of the people who come Friday night, many of them drive from all over Tel Aviv. They come, they enjoy. He serves it Friday night, a tremendous kiddush. Shabbos, there's a meal. And then there are people that began by driving Friday night and sitting with the rabbi worshiping the ground he walks on, and they're Shema Torah Mitzvah 100%. I remember the French couple with their children, 100% Shema Torah Mitzvah because of Rabbi Ariel and Cheryl. So it's a very delicate question. And the halacha lemaisa, if you have the shaila and you want to be mekil, yesh al mi l'smoch. But again, you have to deal. Children see, neighbors see, family sees. What is the message you're giving? And it's the issue hangs fire. Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up next week with Las Vegas. Again, some very fast next week, 2 weeks from now. We pick up with an interesting shaila, and I will deal with some of the problems, Jew. I mean, these are ongoing problems, a continuation of what we just had.
this past week before Yom Kippur?
Yeah, so that's the last two classes before until well after Sukkot, until the week after.
Next week there will be.
Next week there are no classes. It's Rosh Hashanah. Sunday is Erev Rosh Hashanah. You said Slichus today or not? If you said Slichus, what does it mean? Sunday's Rosh Hashanah. Erev. And Monday goes Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. I'll have children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, great grandchildren. That's what counts now, the great grandchildren. Can I inherit? Where I daven, like all good Jews, I have a shul for all week. I have a shul for Friday night. Herbie wasn't there this Friday night. And I have a
start on regular. It's too early.
No, I love Shabbos early. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I daven with my children. And Chol HaMoed, Sukkot and Pesach. My children run a shul on Palmach. So it's a weekend shul. It's Shabbos, Yontif, Chol HaMoed, etc. So I daven with them Chol HaMoed. And I daven with them Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm the Makri. I took over Nebuch when he died. When Ephraim Shach died, remember Ephraim Shach, Rav Shach's only son, was my classmate in Bernard Revel Graduate School. I got my doctorate 66, he got his 67, and he worked with Rabbi Rubin, who's sitting here. And he davened in the shul, so he was the makri. With his death, it fell upon my shoulders. But we have a very good Baal Tokeya, so it's not a problem. Scott, that last name is not B-A-R.
B-A-B-E-N-D-R.
Babendir? Yeah. Babendir. 1 second, are you Edata Mizrach? Are you Chinese?
Yeah.
Where does the name come from?
Grudno, but unclear what it means.
1 second. I come from Grudno too, one of my grandparents, but we never knew a Babendir from there. What does it mean? You gotta research it, research it.
Help me out, yeah.
Isaac Selter?
Yeah.
Not Seltzer, but Selter.
Correct.
Muncie. Ah, so you enjoyed today. Muncie Kiryat Yovel, Frisch, Yeshiva College, made Aliyah 4 weeks ago. So Zayin Mitmasel. Klita Tova. Through Nefesh B'Nefesh?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't get it. The mitzvah's less than my mitzvah. I once said this publicly. Guy wanted to kill me. When we came in Aliyah, there was no one here, no one to guide us. We were just Yitzchak and came. You come 10 years after us? How many years are you here now?
I came in
78. So 10 years after us, basically. So, I'm going to talk about it actually, it's very important, Thursday night in Beit Shemesh, in the concept of the idea I want to develop. So, alright, but nevertheless, that you came here, and everyone in Muncie is laughing at you for coming here, you get a mitzvah. Ariane, that's Dov Pinchak's daughter, okay, got it. And Yitzchak Rubin Michael Miller. All right, the freebies. Here is Rav Shlomo Zalman on Yom Tov Sheni with Ha'arat. It's from Halichat Shlomo. If anyone can figure out exactly what he holds, I'll appreciate it. But the Rabbarin Lichtenstein changed his nohag, his practice, because of Rav Shlomo Zalman. From Chicago, here is the official letter to Rabbarin Soloveitchik from the United States Department of Education, waiving some of the requirements so that Yeshivat Bris could be recognized by the government. In other words, that they had the right not to take in Goyim, etc. Did you ever see this letter? Here it is, one copy. Anyone else want the other copy? Two copies were printed out for me. Who else is here from Chicago? Pass it back to Yitzchak. This is very interesting. a fellow who evidently is a Shema Mitzvah today, Louis Kemp. He met, very successful. He met Bob Dylan at a Jewish camp, and they stayed good friends for 50 years. Now, Bob Dylan, who's what? Zimmerman originally, right?
Won the Nobel Prize.
I have it right, Zimmerman?
Yeah.
Yes, his son-in-law, Bobby Zimmerman, his daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren are 100% from Chabad. Chabad finished out the job. For a while, Zimmerman was from, but that was attempting, testing. And among their other friends is Larry David, the one-time neighbor of camp. That's his other, Dylan's other famous Jewish friend. You can't move. You are the best neighbor I ever had, even better than Kramer. The book came out, quoting their friendship and their wise cracks. Maybe someone will bring them to Shir. We can help them a little bit and understand not to be a Christian Jew. Here is Sar Academy. I hate to say it, but I recognize the name, Rabbi Jonathan Skolnick. There was a Skolnick family in the Bronx. Is he a YU Mismach? And here's the story, but just, you know, I can't what? That was the previous scandal. This is a brand new one. And I see pornography, children. Why you? This is so sad. Two articles that contradict each other. Why you? LGBT students keep up pressure. Here they are. You recognize the street. You recognize where they are. And here they are marching, demanding recognition. Yeshiva University. It hurts. And here's good news. New York City to drop conversion therapy ban after Jewish therapist mounts legal challenge. It's a Chabadnik, a psychologist, and he went to court, and they're dropping the legal ban because the lawyers have told them there's no way that the Supreme Court will hold up a ban. If you want to go to a psychologist and you want to be helped to become heterosexual, there's no way that ban will be held up. And let me go one step further. The America's abortion rate has dropped lower than ever, which is that, and they say it's not just because of Trump and the Republicans, but because of life realities. And this is an article for Michael, very interesting New York Times, that the, or wherever this article comes from, that Brian Cashman is a genius. He didn't trade off talent for well-known names such as Manny Machado, and the people he has did better than the well-known names that he would have had to give away a fortune. This is a very fascinating volume for anyone who has intellectual curiosity. Emunatitecha, it's a put out by Tzomet, put out by the Institute of for Agriculture. This is all Mizrahi-type organizations, all the great Torah. What's interesting in here, Halacha Lemaisa, is a whole article dealing with the kashrut of hard liquor. And it gives you a whole rundown of brandy and tequila, gin, vodka, rum, unbelievable rundown, what is, what isn't, and all I can say is I wish I had a taste for liquor. I would enjoy these articles immensely, but I always find if I drink, I have a Talmud who's a world famous doctor, and he said, Rebbe, you have to have a shot of scotch every day. One scotch, you'll live longer, you'll have more energy. So I listened to him. I took a shot of scotch right after lunch. One second. I fell asleep. I fell asleep for 2 hours. I was Michael. From that point on, I'm Michael the Scotch. I need the time to work. Now, this is a very interesting book, which opens your eyes why there's so many Svarim today. Every Tom, Dick, Harry, or Aaron can publish. Publication is cheap. And here, Ellie, Effie, if you have a few chidushim, they're willing to put it together for you and make an entire book. And wait till you see what's being published here. What the Mishneh Berurah did, one person. So I don't know who it was. Some other gadol said to the Chafetz Chaim, we need a Mishneh Berurah on Yoredeya. And the Mishneh Berurah answered, give me another 30 years. Now they have entire teams working to put out a Mishneh Berurah on Chayshin Mishpat and Evan Ezra. First, not Yeridaya yet. Yeridaya, there's a lot written, a lot of concise summaries. But Chayshin Mishpat and Evan Ezra, I can't believe what's happening. And I state again and again, Ani Rotkov, you were born too soon. You guys open up a Ramban edited footnote. Scott, you're the happiest guy in the world. You open up a Rishon, a Ritba, a Rashba. You guys don't get a Shafel Imitar. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable what you guys have.
You have
Yodin Yodin? The yeshiva didn't give Yodin Yodin in my time. I could get Yodin Yodin in a second, but who needs it? I mean, it's enough to have Yoridea. But I don't have Yodin. The yeshiva didn't give in my time. That's a development in the 70s. And I know some of the...
Eretz Kanta gives them.
No, beside that, here in Israel, you can get Yodin Yodin. You get from the rabbin. They're all different levels of smicha. But I, Baruch Hashem, at my age, I don't need any more degrees. I just need the ability to learn and to rejoice in the Yankees' victory. Can I inherit? Now we got to go further, see what happens.
95 and 53.
The Yankees, 101 victories. You're way behind the time. They clinched first place in the Eastern, what do they call it? The Eastern Division of the American League. So I was so more involved. My wife said, when's the World Series? I said, you gotta live another 5-6 weeks to see the World Series. And nowadays, you won the pennant, and a day later was the World Series. And Malka is very generous. She says, if the Yankees are in the World Series, she knows my connection, you can get a good seat, go to America, watch. I said, honey, I'm not that stupid. The computer, 5 minutes in the morning, you get the highlights of the game, condensed game. It's fabulous. So many people, Scott, wanted to buy me, including the administrators. He wanted to get me a gift. You can have a subscription. You can see any game at any time. Any game ever played that they have recorded. You know what I'm talking about? I think it's $125 a year. It's garnished. So I told them, if you get me that, I'll never open a Gemara again. I am satisfied. 5 minutes of Vital Torah, which is not Vital Torah. We'll get to this in this class yet. Moshe, you know why it's not Vital Torah? It resuscitates me, makes me a kid again. You have more energy. 5 minutes, condensed game. Stanton hit a double and a home run yesterday. Baruch Hashem, they're giving him, it's $1 million for every hit the guy will get. You understand? Refinish
a Lila. He was out for 3 months.
Three months, no one knows his name anymore.
How many home runs does he have?
Two, right now two. He was out, he was sitting, in the disabled list. My dear students, tomorrow, first of all, I want to thank everyone who came to class and honored me. It's a beautiful class. Secondly, I want to thank all those listening across the world. I just apologize. People want to talk with me. I can't talk with someone who's not my student. I'm not a Rebbe. If I wanted to be a Hasidic Rebbe, I could be a Rebbe. It's not a problem. I have a title, the Maplewood Rebbe. You have to have a town in Chutz Laretz. Maplewood is fine. And I'll grow a beard. I can grow a beard. And I got to buy, I would buy a blue and white Bekesha. Blue and white.
No,
you have to be different. Blue and white. And the Maplewood Rebbe. And I would speak with people and give advice. And someday I'll tell you how a Rebbe does that. I spoke with the Rebbe. I said, how do you tell people what to do? And he gave me a fabulous answer. We'll leave for another time. But I want to thank them all for listening. Tomorrow morning, Be'ezrat Hashem, at 9:05, we pick up exactly where we left off. Now, in the Monday class, I'm heading into big Chiddush understanding. And I think I'm right. I have to say think, because when you say, I went to graduate school, you have a new idea, be humble. I think I hit the nail on the head. I think. But give me time. Tomorrow, I hope I'll reach it. Next time we meet, after Sukkot, Be'ezrat Hashem. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vitanya. Isaac Selter. There's a Seltzer here, too.
Not really.
No, you're a Selter. He has Begiches that I know about because of my research. Ask him who his great-grandfather was.
Okay.
Yeah. Isaac, we will happily accept you on your own. No, before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, there'll be Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, said, we'll meet again after.
No, then we don't meet again till after.
Yeah, but there'll be, Sunday, Monday before Yom Kippur, but, you know.
Normal.
Good.
Do you think anything's going to happen with the pressure?
It's a terrible situation. Yeah. Terrible. Because the enemies of YU are having a good laugh.
Yeah.
Understand? They can sweep it under the carpet. YU can't.
Yeah.
Because they're taking heavy federal money. Let's see if the Rosh Yeshiva can speak out intelligently, and if they have any power. See, the Rav, if the Rav said something, everyone listened. You don't have that power. You don't have it. Heffet. I quoted certain Rosh Yeshiva friends of mine. People put them down. Rebbe, you don't know. As a matter of fact, I want to begin my piece on Das Torah. Not the way I taught it, but begin speaking about what, if not for the Rabbanim, it wouldn't be good. People don't realize what they, Rabbanim devoted their lives to Torah. Look what they did. Who did more, yours truly or my brother living here? We're talking about two brothers who came in Aliyah. Huh? My brother, you make a big case. Big eyes, doctor, big specialist, big this, big that. Lives, vision. Or teaching Torah, campus, YU, Torah.org. Who did more? I don't know. To me, it seems the Rabbanim, why do you bring down Rabbanim? People have such enmity. You talk about Soha people here, their enmity. And then the Haredim, you have to understand where they're coming from. They're afraid to go into the big world. They see what happened to all the Ashkenazim who went into the big world. How many remain friends? They're afraid. We have an obligation to help them, to pave the way. Doesn't mean we have to become Haredim, but it means we have it. This is one of the things, like what they called it, something I said in class, that as the Haredim start to come out, I judge success not if they become like Rakel, but if they remain Haredim. They love that. I don't want to, I'm happy to be what I am. It's freedom of choice. I have to be like me. I have many grandsons with beards, you know? You want me to have a beard? How can I have a beard? My Rebbeim didn't have beards. I'm still a kid. The Rav had a Van Dyke. He didn't have a real beard. The beard is an Avelis beard. It's, you know what I'm talking about. It's wife. It's not the real Rav. But it was an Avelis beard.
But,
I remember Abarim Soloveitchik clean shaven.
Shanah Tova, it should be a year of good health, and look forward to a year of wonderful learning.
You're doing wonderful with your walking.
Right? I'm getting better. You know,
wow. The doctors can do miracles.
I'm getting better. I don't. I can walk distances. I started walking home again from Daf Yomi every morning.
Wow.
You know, from your shoe room.
Wow. This gentleman comes from Philadelphia, raised in the conservative movement. You should see his sons. He and his wife.
I'm very proud of them.
And what boy? Two of them studied here.
Two of them graduated.
Graduated from
here.
Right. But what boys? What?
Thank
boys.
You. So, thank you so much.
So, what do you say with the parking lot on Shabbos?
If the problem with the tshuvot of the conservative movement is no one was listening. There was no following. They made these tshuvot. No one listened. No one followed them. So what did the tshuva say? You can only drive to shul. You think that stopped people from driving and going shopping?
No,
they would come to shul, you know, and then go to a shopping center. You know that. No one listened.
No one,
it's just that they tried to deal with issues of reality in terms of what was happening to their membership, but no one listened. No one heard it.
No one heard.
You know, those of you that were so much about the conservative